There we go. Blessings, dear family. Glad that you can join us. And hope that for those of you on this side of the world, you've had a blessed day. I certainly have had a blessed day. I'm just checking something. Anyway, it doesn't matter. And for those of you just starting your day, pray that you're having a wonderful start to the day with Jesus, the begotten Son, the beloved Son, the agape Son, the blessed Son. And today we want to look at the connection between the begotten Son and the principle of rest. Rest is only connected to the begotten Son of the Father. He is the only one that has rest, and we want to explore some of that and why the Sabbath, and by extension, the festivals, are all connected to the begotten Son of the Father, and of course, to the Father himself. So before we begin, let us kneel for those who can, and we will pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you that we can come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you that you have borne with the human race another day. Another day of sorrow and suffering, another day where millions of tragedies have unfolded, but also another day of beauty in nature, in the wildlife, in the birds that sing, in the beauty of creation. We see the wonder of our Father, and we bless you, Father. For you supply the needs of all of your creation. And we come to you to ask for clarity, for a blessing, and that we would understand more fully the wonders of this message. We continue to pray and ask you for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would clear away the things that are still blocking us and that you would help us to enter into that rest that we're going to speak about tonight. And I thank you, Father, for hearing this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So the reason we know that Jesus is in a position of rest as we go to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 8. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 8. And it's a short verse, and it simply says, "For the Son of Man is Lord." Which in the Greek is Kyrios, Lord, Master of the Sabbath. And the reason for this, of course, is found in John 1:18. John 1, verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. As the Apostle John lay on the breast of Jesus in complete confidence in him, so the Son of God rests upon the breast of his father and is therefore in his bosom, in his embrace. And in that position, Christ, the Son of God, is at rest. And the only reason he can have this rest is because of his inheritance, that he acknowledges that all that he has come from his Father. So once again, the inheritance of Jesus provides for us another critical principle in the search for truth, and that is the principle of rest. We have looked at the fact that the begottenness of the Son is what provides the ability to be blessed, because you can only be blessed by someone greater than yourself. You cannot be blessed by someone equal to you in every way. There is no blessing falling upon such an individual. There can only be expressions of admiration and honor, but not blessing in the sense of blessing someone that has come from you. So the begottenness of the Son ensures the blessing. The begottenness of the Son demonstrates the agape of the Father in giving him all things. The begottenness of the Son then also is the basis of rest. And therefore, Jesus can say, as the blessed begotten Son, that he is Lord or Master of the Sabbath. And so to connect the Sabbath to the unbegotten Son has no meaning. It has no context other than something arbitrary. And there is nothing arbitrary about God. Everything has a purpose and a reason. And the Sabbath is only found in the begotten Son. Because, and maybe we should remind ourselves, well, I will shortcut. Ellen White says, the Ten Commandments are ten promises. So when you read thou shalt and thou shalt not, you are not reading commands which God demands of you to perform to please him. The Ten Commandments are telling you what will happen to you when you receive his Spirit, which can only be received through his Son. For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So when we have Christ, we have the assurance that we can keep all of the commandments. We will manifest all of the commandments. And of course, the fourth commandment is remember the Sabbath day. When you are in Christ, in the begotten Son, you will remember the Sabbath day. It will come out of you. And as Jesus dwells in the bosom of his Father, so we shall dwell in the bosom of the Son, as John the disciple did. And in that place, we shall rest. Rest when we feel weary. Rest when things are so perplexing and overwhelming. I had just a few hours ago, something happened And it completely overwhelmed me. I just didn't know what to do. So I turned to my Savior and I reached out my hand spiritually to him and said, "This is beyond me. I'm quite distressed by this, but you know all things and you will make this work together for good." And that gave me some measure of peace, because I'm in the process of giving it completely to my Savior, because I believe that all things are possible with the Father and the Son. And of course, my flesh is crying out, "But you need to do something." You need to perform. But in giving the situation to Christ, I receive rest. And of course, this by extension is taken into the Sabbath. So we notice in Matthew 11, 27, we see the connection to the inheritance and rest. Notice Matthew 11, 27. "All things have been delivered to me by my Father." There is an inheritance. And then he says, "No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal." So there we have the inheritance. All things are delivered to Christ by the Father. And on that basis, he says in verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So because he has received all things from his Father, and the Father has said to him, "You are my beloved Son," he has spoken life into his Son through the blessing. And as a consequence of that, Christ rests in the bosom of the Father. And he says, "If you want rest, you need to come to me." And that means that rest is an experience in the begotten Son. I've often asked this question to people, because the fourth commandment says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Pardon me. I got up very early this morning. How can an unholy person keep the Sabbath holy? This is the question. Because there is, and I've also said this a number of times, there is only one Sabbath keeper in the universe, and he shares his Sabbath keeping with us, and that is the begotten Son. The spirit of rest is only found in Christ, and in coming to him, we can receive that rest that he has in his Father, the rest that we enjoy is actually the rest of Christ in his Father. And that's why he says, he doesn't say, "Go and sit under that tree and rest." No, "Come to me and I will give you rest." we see then that rest is only found in the person of Jesus, and this Jesus is the one who has received all things from the Father. It's clearly there in Matthew 11, 27 and 28. And I hope that you will see from this then that Sabbath keeping is righteousness by faith. It is an experience that Christ has in the Father and breathes upon us through his Spirit. And that's another reason why the Spirit cannot be anything other than the Spirit of Jesus, because only the one who dwells in the bosom of the Father, is blessed of the Father, is the agape Son, who is the evidence that God has given him all things. He is the only one that has rest to give us, and that makes him Lord of the Sabbath. So we come to Exodus 31, and we see here the experience of rest described. We know it says here in Exodus 31 and verse 17 that the Sabbath is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And that word refreshed means to blow or to be blown upon. And the question is, well, which is it? Well, God is blowing on the Sabbath. He's blowing his blessing, his breath, his Spirit upon his Son. And therefore, he is blowing, and of Christ is being blown upon. He is receiving the Spirit of his Father. And then he has this experience of rest in the bosom, a complete letting go of everything and trusting it all into the hands of his Father. And that rest that is in Christ is then flowing out of him. His cup runneth over, and it comes to all who believe in the name of the Son of God. Because if you don't believe in that name, the only begotten Son, then you cannot truly experience this rest. And we see that it says that it is a sign. And I've talked about this in the past, that the word sign can be like every seventh day, stop, sign. Here it is, stop. But the word sign in Hebrew also is a miracle, signs and wonders. The same word is used for the miracles that Moses did in Egypt. They were called signs. So the sign of the Sabbath is a miracle between God and the children of Israel forever. It's a miracle in which we completely yield ourselves to our Father, trusting fully in him, because that is the Spirit of Christ. And that is the reason why no one can come to the Father except through the Son, because the Son is resting continually in his Father. He rests in his word. He does what he says. He believes that his Father is correct in all his ways, and he trusts him. And this is the basis of rest. And this continual rest experience of the Son is manifested. It is made visible on the Sabbath when the Father and Son rest together. And we are invited into that rest with them. And we see this in John, 1 John 1 and verse 3. 1 John 1 and verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Not simply the Son, but his Son, possessive. A Son that is possessed and owned by the Father because he gave him all things. This fellowship is a fellowship of rest. Christ resting on the bosom, in the bosom of his Father. And once you understand that beautiful, that simple concept, you can understand the Sabbath, and dare I say it, more fully. It is a deeper understanding. And when you enter into the Sabbath, you are not simply ceasing from your works. You are receiving the spirit of rest. You are receiving the breath of the Son of God as he breathed upon his disciples. And you are entering into that rest experience by faith alone. And that is every time we come to a Sabbath, a new moon, or a festival, we are receiving of this spirit of rest. Now, it's interesting, and I did this study some time ago, but in the Greek, when Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest." This Greek word in the Greek Old Testament is found in the Sabbath. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. And this same word is also connected to the Sabbaths during the feasts. And it's the seventh month feasts of trumpets, atonement, and the first and the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. All of them have this rest component in them that Jesus says, "I will give you." So if Jesus says, "Come to me," and he also says, "I am Lord of the Sabbath, and I want you to rest on the Sabbath," then on the Sabbath, Jesus is saying, "Come to me. I want to bless you with the rest that is in me." And if we choose not to come, then he cannot give us his rest. If we choose another day, then we will not have rest. And to not to come to Jesus when he calls you is wicked. And there is no rest for the wicked, as the scripture tells us. And so particularly on the seventh month, and we are heading towards the seventh month feasts now, and each trumpets, atonement, first and last day of tabernacles, all of them contain this rest. And this is when our Savior is calling us, particularly every Sabbath and in each of these feasts, there is this rest. The question is, don't you want to receive this rest? I am constantly challenged by the things of this world, and I need this rest. I need this peace. So, of course, we can receive of this Spirit every day. And we have been participating in the morning and evening sacrifice, where there is an element of the Spirit that is poured out upon us. But there is greater measures of this in the Sabbath and the feasts. But again, we remind ourselves, and this is the important part, is that the Sabbath is only found in the begotten Son, who shares his rest experience in the Father with us. Now, I wish I had known this as a child. I wish that I had some understanding of this. And as a child, the Sabbath was a burden. It was cumbersome because I wanted to do my own thing. And I kept the Sabbath out of a sense of duty. I must do this so that God doesn't kill me. Not that I thought about it that directly, but it's like, well, he is the supreme being and I guess he has the right to tell us what to do, even if I don't really understand, but I will do it because he's the boss. This is not the Sabbath. This is not Sabbath keeping. This is Saturday observance or Saturday drudgery. It's not the rest of the Sabbath. So, in worshiping the begotten Son, you should be aware that he gives us access to this rest. And we see in the divine pattern the image of husband and wife and of parent and child. When a child is resting, a small child is resting on its parent and sleeping, we see the principle of rest. And this is because the child, well, hopefully, is recognizing the blessing of its parent, or the wife is recognizing the blessing of her husband and rests in him and has confidence in his leadership. That is where being embraced and being in the bosom of the husband or the father is a delight. It is rest. It is peaceful. It is wonderful. And so this rest experience, as we learn more and more to rest, so that when we are challenged and we feel a frequency or vibration of sinfulness or selfishness, that we will cling to Christ and his rest, so that we do not say and do things that we ought not to do. And with this understanding of the Sabbath, we can see why the Sabbath must be the great central point of conflict between God's people and the followers of the beast and its image. It must come to that point ultimately. Some people in the Adventist Church think that the Sunday law issue is a mute issue. That was a 19th century conflict. We're not going to have this now. This is not true. It's always going to come back to this, because the evidence that you are abiding in the begotten Son is the rest that you experience when he calls you, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he calls us on the Sabbath. He calls us morning and evening. But the morning and evening sacrifice follows the same principle of what I call 6 plus 1. A Sabbath, 6 days, a Sabbath. And so we have in the daily outpouring of the Spirit, we have morning sacrifice, 6 hours, morning sacrifice. And that's following the 6 plus 1 principle, 6 plus 1. And so daily we are called, come to me, I will give you rest. Each Sabbath, I will give you rest. Then at the new moon, there's not a direct biblical correlation to the word Sabbath and rest, except we see a connection, for instance, in Ezekiel 46, where the gates of the temple are opened on the Sabbath and on the new moon. So there's a connection between them. But we see that it says in Isaiah 66 that from one Sabbath to another and from one new moon to another shall all flesh come before me. And so there is a rest principle in the new moon connected to this, and of course in the feasts. And therefore it makes sense that when we look at the typology or the example of what happened in Egypt with the 10 plagues, we see a parallel to the 7 last plagues. We see that, and if you've studied this, you go to Exodus 5, that Exodus 5 and verse 5, the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Or why do you cause them to rest?" And that word is, verse 5. And Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are many now. You make them Shabbat, or rest, from their labor." So there was a work law in Egypt that demanded of them to work on the Sabbath. And Moses instituted a reminder to them, to the Israelites, that they should not work on the Sabbath. And this made Pharaoh furious. And, Of course, this was extended when Moses went to Pharaoh. And as it says in verse 1, Exodus 5, verse 1, Moses asks if they can keep a feast. And that feast that he wanted to keep with them was the Passover, which they ended up keeping, or the first part of the first day of it in Egypt. And then they left, pardon me. So it may be that before the conflict comes with the Sabbath, that it may start with a feast, because Pharaoh didn't seem to react to the Sabbath until they asked for the feast, to be able to keep a feast. And when Moses asked for this, then there was persecution, a demand to make bricks without straw. And all this is written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, the Sabbath principle of rest is very important for many reasons. One of them being, let's go to Leviticus 25. And we see something very interesting in verse 2. It says, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come in the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land. So we see here that the Sabbath is not only for man, but also for the earth, for the land. The land itself needs rest. And this is the reason why we shall spend 1,000 years in heaven, while the earth rests for 1,000 years after 6,000 years of sin. The earth needs to rest and heal from the sinfulness of man during that 6,000 year period. And it's also the reason why Israel was taken captive by Babylon, and they were taken off the land, and the land rested for 70 years. God did this to allow rest to come back to the land. So when the land is at rest, it doesn't produce earthquakes and tornadoes and storms and all these ferocious things, because it's resting, it's at rest. And we see a connection between the people of God, who have this spirit of rest in them, and the earth itself. And to show this connection, I take you to Isaiah 24, verse 5. And this is speaking in the negative. The earth also is defiled under its inhabitants, because they have transgressed the law, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Now, if we keep the law, this means, in opposite terms, that the earth is not defiled under the inhabitants, but the earth is blessed under its inhabitants. And when we keep the law and we walk in the statutes and we are having a spirit of rest in us, this rest goes on to the land. This rest brings peace to the earth. When we keep the Sabbath, the new moons, and the festivals, we are bringing peace to the earth, goodwill towards men. Because the Spirit of Christ in us is also causing the earth to flourish and to be blessed. And when you understand the Sabbath principle, and you understand the principle of rest, you will then understand the protection that the Sabbath offers you. Because we see that God said to Cain in Genesis 4, he says in verse 11, because he had murdered his brother, he had transgressed the law, broken the everlasting covenant. So now you are cursed from the earth. As in, the curse is coming to you from the earth. The earth is not as fertile because of your sin. You have murdered and caused death, and this death therefore vibrates into the earth and causes death in the earth. The earth is defiled under its inhabitants. And so we draw the conclusion that the Sabbath keepers will go through the seven last plagues, and the earth will not harm them. The curse will not come to them from the ground, but they will be protected because they are riding upon the high places of the earth, which is the Sabbath. And so we turn to Isaiah 58 and we see that in verse 12, it says, those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach. The Sabbath, as it says, in the next verse tells you how the breach is restored. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, or trampling upon the Sabbath, or breaking the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. Well, if you love the begotten Son and you delight in him, then you will receive the delight that he has in his Father on the Sabbath. And so in keeping the Sabbath and in keeping the festivals, we have a double layer of protection, the Sabbath and the festivals, double glazing in the windows to keep out the cold of this world. And therefore, those who give up the Sabbath under the force of the modern Pharaoh, the king of Babylon, whichever, both typologies are applicable. Those who give up the Sabbath will receive the plagues. And the Ellen White talks about this in early writings. And it's in page 30. 334, it says, I saw that God had children who did not keep the Sabbath. They had not rejected light upon it. And at the commencement of the time of trouble, we were filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of rest. and we went forth and proclaimed the Sabbath more fully. We sent the rest, we will send the rest of our Savior, of our beloved, out through the whole earth, and the earth will be lightened with the glory of God. Now notice, this enraged the churches and the nominal Adventists. These are all those who reject the begotten Son, because only the begotten Son has the Sabbath more fully, the blessed Sabbath, the rest in the bosom of the Father. And it says, as they could not refute the Sabbath truth. And at this time, God's chosen all saw clearly that we had the truth. And they came out and endured the persecution with us. Now notice, I saw the sword, famine, and pestilence, and great confusion in the land. This is because of their refusal to keep the Sabbath. They do not have the repairing of the breach. They do not have rest in their souls. And as a consequence, there is sword, which is war, because men who do not have peace want to go to war, and they will experience war. And famine comes from a lack of rest in the earth. And pestilence comes from a lack of rest in the earth and in man. When man is not resting in God, his body breaks down and he has dis-ease, which is the opposite of rest. We might call dis-ease dis-rest or unrest. Disease comes from a lack of rest and resting in the bosom of the Father in Christ. So sword, famine, and pestilence are all coming from a lack of rest. And of course, the five foolish virgins say to the wise, give us of your oil, that we may come to the wedding with you. But the oil is found in the begotten Son. And in this rest principle, this is the blessing that is poured out through Christ. And so, if we want to be protected from the seven last plagues, we need to keep the Sabbath. But we can only keep the Sabbath by receiving it from the begotten Son. He is the only one in the universe that has it, making him the Lord of the Sabbath, Master of the Sabbath. God is the giver of the Sabbath experience because it's in his bosom that Christ dwells. But Christ is the recipient of the Sabbath. He is the first begotten of all Sabbath keepers. And we receive of his Sabbath keeping by believing on his name, the only begotten Son of God. And this will be borne out soon enough. So all those who claim to keep the Sabbath outside of the begotten Son cannot experience this, not in reality. Now, God may wink at their ignorance, but now he commands all men to repent. And yes, it is a profound truth, isn't it, Jervin? And Ralph writes, sorry if I'm missing some of the comments, but I try and pick them up here and there. The first man, Adam, was a living soul, but the last one, Adam, was made a life-giving spirit. Exactly. Life rest, blessing. Why wouldn't you want this? It's simple. It's beautiful. The Sabbath is a gift. It's a gift from Jesus because he rests on the bosom of the Father. And one of the meanings for the word Adonai in the Hebrew means big-breasted one. And it means a big breast in which you can lie upon. It's wide enough for all of his children to come into his arms in Jesus. So I hope that you can connect all of these pieces to see that Sabbath is only connected to the begotten Son. I've said that several times now, but I don't want you to miss this. God the Son is the God of Sunday. God the Son and Sunday and Trinity all go together. And therefore, if you worship God the Son, you must ultimately come to Sunday and the Trinity. And they always will end up in the same place. Because the concept of blessing is lost in the Trinity. It is all co-equal, co-eternal, inherent power. There's no blessing principle here within the Father-Son relationship. But in the begotten Son, it's clearly revealed. It's an intelligent understanding of the Sabbath. And so I hope that you can see the Sabbath more fully in the light of the begotten Son, and that you will see that your Sabbath keeping, your feast keeping, is simply the keeping of the Spirit of Jesus. Do you understand? It's keeping the Spirit of Jesus. It is the work of the wise virgins to have oil in their vessels. So the Sabbath, new moons, and feasts allow you to fill up your vessel to have the rest in the time of trouble so that you will have peace. And yes, as Yuta says, Lord Jesus, give us your spirit of sonship and the spirit of resting in the bosom of the Father. Amen. This is what we want. And we can only get it from Jesus when we acknowledge, as it says in Matthew 11:27, I have received all things from my Father. When you believe this, then you can embrace the rest in Christ. So, thank you for listening. I hope that I've been able to present to you the Sabbath more fully, and that in the begotten Son, we see this beauty. And we, well, let me put it this way. If you do watch the news, you may be frightened by the things that you see. There was a huge earthquake this week, again, from lack of rest. And everyone was afraid of a tsunami. But if you claim the begotten Son as yours and you walk in his Sabbaths and his statutes, then you should be confident that you can say to this tornado, peace, be still. To the waves that would threaten to overwhelm you. By the peace of the Son of God that I have received, I say to you, peace, be still. Didn't Jesus say, Do you marvel at this? You shall do greater works than these. Greater in the sense that many of us will be doing them, not just Jesus alone, because the works that Jesus did are profound. And of course, greater works because of greater numbers. That's my understanding. So thank you for listening. I'd like to finish with a prayer and then we will close. Dear Father, thank you for blowing upon your Son your delight, your love for him. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you rest in the bosom of the Father. You do nothing apart from him. Lord Jesus, give us your Spirit that we will do nothing apart from you and therefore the Father. Let us receive the Sabbath by faith alone, by faith in the begotten Son, the begotten of the Father. And to have confidence, you will save us from the seven last plagues, because the earth will not be defiled under our feet, for we will have rest, morning and evening, Sabbath, new moon, and the festivals three times in the year, that we may have rest, and in the seventh year, and in the Jubilee, it continues. And we thank you, Father, for your beautiful Sabbath. It's such a precious principle. And we thank you for hearing this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, everyone. I'm really enjoying our time together. I'm so glad you've been blessed, and thank you for your encouraging words. And I pray that the Sabbath will be more precious and you will take this rest to yourself and to your families. So till next time, I bless you in the name of Jesus, the only begotten Son, the agape Son, the resting Son. God bless for now.
Let not